Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Good afternoon, Pastor.
Good afternoon, my dear brother.
How are you this afternoon? It's a Friday.
Oh, thank God for Friday, because we know what will happen after the Friday.
Yes, yes, after the Friday. It's a big day. Yeah, the biggest day of the week.
Amen. Yes,
sir. Yes, hallelujah. All right, we've been talking about balancing self-care and self-sacrifice. And of course, today we are coming to the conclusion of the whole matter. Now, Christ says, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up the cross, their cross, and follow me. That's according to Matthew 16:24. So God desires our self-denial. However, in the same gospel, Christ extended grace when he said, come to me, all you are weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest. That is Matthew 11:28. Now, God desires that we pay attention to weariness and burden-filled seasons. And he says about a spirit stewardship of our self-care. Now, a tip towards one side of the self-denial and self-care spectrum leads to an emptiness of a genuine offering. The other side of the spectrum leads to self-obsession and indulgence. And so we want to check, where do we then find the balance? Now, Pastor, is self-sacrifice the entry point or the graduate school of the Christian life?
My friend, it's a very interesting question. First time somebody actually asked me this. But I would say there is no Christianity without self-denial. You cannot come to Jesus without the surrendering of your will to his will. So I believe it is both for me. It's both the entry point and the graduate school. Why I'm saying is that is because when you come to Christ, you are giving yourself to him. And as you grow in your relationship with him, you are giving more and more of yourself to him. That, of course, your time, your talents, treasures, and, of course, your testimony, meaning your whole being. You mentioned a verse where Jesus says, if anyone wants to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me. Mm-hmm. So if you have never said no to yourself in order to say yes to Jesus, then you are not a follower according to Jesus. So we surrender the throne of our lives to him and allow Jesus to do his work in us and through us. And I believe that is the entry point and the graduate school of the Christian, according to me, my friend.
Mm. Yeah. Now, is it practical to give and expect nothing, absolutely nothing in return?
You know, you're not really giving if you expect something in return, in my view. Because when you give of yourself and you expect something in return, it's a transaction. For me, then, not a kind gesture. You have one eye on your actions and the other on what you'll get in return. You know, that not only takes you away from the moment, but you can't do your best or be your best when you have a hidden agenda, you know. So you might not always benefit from giving of yourself, but I believe you can take great pride in knowing that you're making a positive difference in someone's life. And so I believe while takers, my friend, may accumulate a lot of things in life, they will never experience the joy of being a giver. Mm, you know, as someone once said, he says, a friend is someone who does things that count, but doesn't stop to count them. You know, and that's very powerful.
Yeah.
Because naturally, because of our sinful nature, we just want to receive, of course, as you know. But I believe we shouldn't give to expect something in return. It will be the natural response, the law of reciprocity, that you will eventually receive back.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes maybe in this life, all that you think you deserve, but ultimately as a Christian, we believe God will give us eternal life and to be in his presence forever. That will be the ultimate goal for me personally to achieve, if I can put it like that.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. I think that's a beautiful one. Definitely a beautiful one. Now, is it possible to love others while hardly giving love to yourself?
Yeah, I think we spoke about it yesterday. Remember, we both self-love by both receiving love and by giving it to another. I must say it like this, you know, your capacity to love another is directly proportional to your capacity to love yourself.
Yeah, yeah, true.
You don't, you know, if you don't love yourself, you can certainly idolize someone else or long for someone or even seduce someone. But I believe this is not the same as actually loving someone else. You know, my friend?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. True, true that, true that. I love that, actually. Now, does Christ's life, his life, give us any lessons, if at all, about balancing self-care and self-sacrifice?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, the Bible told us that Jesus was both God and was fully man. He had the same kind of limitations, of course, that we do, and demonstrated to us self-stewardship during his time on earth. For example, if I can give a few examples, the Bible says he often spent time alone in prayer, but that was not the only thing he did to care for himself. The Bible also says in Mark 4:38, he says, the Bible says he rests, as we see in him, how he slept in the boat while his disciples did the work of sailing, you know. Then, of course, he ate. We need to eat in Luke chapter 7, verse 34. And then very importantly, I think something that people miss sometimes, my friend, is that Jesus loves to go to parties. I mean, the first public miracle he performed was in John chapter 2 when he turned water into wine. So it's very important also when you look at self-care to also have relaxation and party. I believe, my friend, Christ probably laughed a lot and he had a sense of humor, although it may be recorded in scripture. You know, he was a man of sorrow, the Bible says. But I believe when children come to him, they don't look at a man of sorrow. They look at a man who is full of love, you know. He had smiles on his face. So that balance is very important for me, that I believe Christ also had.
Yeah, it's a beautiful one. Now, Pastor, we've had you the week long, and it's been a fantastic one. We've actually talked more, looking at a different, angles into this particular one. How would you conclude this discussion? What are some of the things that you would want to impress our minds as we part ways?
Maybe before I answer that one directly and specifically, I would like to say also that Jesus did not meet everyone's needs immediately. We think of Christ, you know, this guy just giving, he only say yes all the time. But we must remember, while Jesus stopped to meet the needs of many, there were also instances when he did not immediately meet the needs that he saw. Remember the story of Lazarus. Lazarus was sick. He got the news, but the Bible says he didn't go immediately to raise Lazarus. You know, we always mourn the cares of worries of the world that we see and that we know about, but that doesn't actually mean we're called to meet all of them, especially as a pastor. You know, I have 7 coins I must look for. I have elders in those churches that must help me, you know, and so Jesus was not afraid to disappoint people. I would like to say that, my friend. Remember, Jesus disappointed the Israelites who had expected the Messiah to kick out the Romans and be king and not to go to the cross. He repeatedly disappointed his disciples by not doing what they expected him to do. He even disappointed his own mother and brothers who thought he was crazy, you know, and came to take him away from the synagogue as he was preaching in it. And so the only person I believe that Christ didn't disappoint was his father. And what I'm trying to say is that we need to discern what is the good work of God that he has put before us, instead of working out our own expectations of ourselves or others' expectations of us. And so I believe we burden ourselves sometimes, my friend, with our own expectations or that of others. And we end up with burnout, as I mentioned a few days ago, and we are overworked, which of course will eventually hurt ourselves, but also the people around us. And so if I can just maybe say this in conclusion, self-care is not selfishness, but a wise form of self-care and discipleship. Because we must remember two very important things. One, that we are working heartily for Christ, not for ourselves or for others. And number two, that God has already prepared good works for us to do. And we don't need to burn ourselves out to serve Him. Because self-care is not you being selfish. Self-care changes your perspective and your attitude when you feel empowered by the time you spend with the Father. Self-care is loving yourself enough to call a time out and allow yourself a break, you know, even if you can only grab 5 minutes. So in conclusion, my friend, I would like us to ask God for that spirit of discernment when it comes to self-care and self-sacrifice. I think that is very key for us as Christians.
Yeah, beautiful.
You know, as you spend time with God, you will eventually, when you have uninterrupted, quiet time with Him, unhurried time with Him, that's the word I'm looking for. He will give you the spirit of discernment to know when to say yes and when to say no.
Yeah.
Thank you for my friend for having me and to be able to share a few things with you.
Beautiful,
you guys.
Fantastic, Pastor. We've all also had a lovely, lovely time with you. Thanking you so much for coming through. Blessings to you. Until next time.
God bless. Thank you, my friend. God bless you.
Blessings. Thanks.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.